بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is a saying of Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah alayh. There's five levels in the procedure of knowledge. Everything has a procedure. To come to the Dora Hadith, you have to go through 5 years. Then you come to the Dora Hadith. Right? To become a Hafiz, you have to go through the procedure of Qaida Baghdadi, Nurani Qaida, and Yassan al Quran, etc. Then you come to Quran, and then you become a Hafiz. So everything has a procedure. To learn medicine, procedure. Go and matriculate, go to university, take these courses, then after 5-6 years, then you can apply to medical school and you can graduate as a doctor, right? So Allah Ta'ala has created this world with procedures, asbab. Though He is not dependent on the asbab, right? But when He has created the system in this way, then we need to respect those systems that Allah Ta'ala has created. Allah Ta'ala could have sent children from the clouds. You apply for a child, the same from the Asman. Can anybody stop Allah's Qudrat? No. But did you ever hear of that happening? Alright. It happened for Isa alayhi salam. He also was born through the agency of a human being. Not straight. Didn't come down from the heaven. So it's a system of Allah Ta'ala. And we need to respect the system of Allah Ta'ala. Imam Ghazali Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, philosopher of his ummah, very great thinker. See, his ummah had thinkers. Like you had Imam Alimiyah Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, great thinker of this ummah. Then you have Imam Ghazali Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, also a thinker of the ummah. And they were great buzurgs, great awliya, but Allah Pak had granted them that thinking ability, that understanding. So he says, if it's an audience of poor class, very poor class, then to speak too much about the fazail of Hajj to such an audience is not even permissible. Because it's a poor class, they can't afford it. You want to hype them up. And when they're going to get hyped up, they're going to be pining to go for Hajj, and they can't go for Hajj. Either then, they go and beg, or get the money from some haram means, otherwise sit with that grief and agony and shout at themselves that we can't go for Hajj. Right? But who has brought this onto them? It is that person who has made this type of bayan to them. That is why Jamaat, they tell you, just speak on the 6 points. Don't go beyond that. One villager, he admitted his child to the madrasa. So he says to him that, teach him, but don't teach him too much. Teach him, but don't teach him too much. If you teach him too much just now, tomorrow he may claim to be a Nabi just now. So these villagers, they know what they are speaking of. They're not stupid, they know what they're speaking of. As another villager, your son, he's gone to London. In the old days, they didn't have this type of universities in India, so if anybody wanted, he wanted further education, he needed to go to London, Ireland, whatever, right? So, they asked the villager, and your son, how far he's gone? He says, I don't understand these things, but I can tell you one, that he's reached such a level in his education, you know, he's reached such a height, such level, that now he can stand and urinate now. وہ مرتبہ پہنچ گئے کہ اب وہ کھڑے کھڑے پیشاب کر سکتا ہے. That's the مرتبہ he reached. Now this village, they give some very subtle messages, very very subtle messages, but they know what they are speaking of. They're not stupid. وہاں تھانی صاحب رحمتہ اللہ علیہ وسلم giving a lecture in Meerut, and he is speaking about this type of discrepancies when people go overseas and all that, especially to Europe and all that, and when they come back and they don't have the level of respect and appreciation for their elders. See, so he says, yeah, one person came back and he tells his father, see, he tells his father, well, Buddha, how are you, how do you do? Right. In the meanwhile, in that audience, one person, one youngster, is nudging one old man, you know. Anyway, after the talk, there was a dawat. So the youngster and the old man, they're laughing and they're giggling with each other. You say, you know, Hazrat, who are we? We are the same people. I am the youngster. At this time, my father, in my days of stupidity, I did this. Hazrat says, for the rest of the time I was there, the dawat, I felt so embarrassed. I just wait for the car to come, that I can jump in and go away. One villager, he went to receive his son. Now, son came, educated and all that, whatever he learned. So he educated and he came back. Now, his friends also heard about his arrival, so they also went to receive him. So the friends are all smartly dressed, all educated class, so they smartly dressed, English style and all that. Now the old chacha, that villager, came to receive his son. He's got a lungi, and he's got a shawl, and got a big thick stick, and he's walking. So now the youngster is feeling embarrassed. Okay, this is my father. So they ask him, who is this? So the villager says, no, the youngster says that this is my neighbor, you know, he lives in the neighborhood, he just came. So the villager says, yeah, it's true that I'm his neighbor, I'm his mother's neighbor. So these are very witty people. Don't assume them to be. If they're not educated, they can't think, they can reason. Just that we got the language, they don't have the language. But they will say the same thing, and they will hit it very hard. So, that education doesn't mean that you must make an expression of it, you know. So what happens to people now, you got that education and you got the better choice of the word, so you want to now impress on the audience with the choice of the word, etc. That doesn't carry so much of water. What really is important and significant is the ma'ani, the content of what you're speaking, you know, what substance. People want to see the substance. Young people in the youth, they like flowery language, right? That's in the youth. But as they mature now, they pass, say, 18, 19, or they come up to 25, 30, more than the language, they look for maturity, they look for substance. Iske andar kitna madda hai? What's the substance in it? They don't look at the excitement and what have you. They look at the substance. So this only appeals to that person at that age. After that, it's gone. Like how you see a novel. One Mawla got married, so he's telling me that, you know, Mawla, you say you mustn't read novels and all that. And my wife can finish 500 pages in one single night. One novel she can finish 500 pages. So I say, hey, if I had only that type of strength, I could have done so many kitabs I could have done, man. 500 pages and one night they can finish it up. I envied that person, that I could have that strength, I could have so many kitabs. So as I'm speaking about it, one other Mawlana, he says, but in my days of Jahiliyyat, I could do the same also. I could finish 500 pages of a novel one night. So these novels and all that, they appeal to only people to that age, from 13, 14 till about 20, 22. And what appeals to them is the suspense. Hey, they're running and they're doing this. That suspense is keeping them on. And they won't give the story up right till the end. Then they lived happily ever after, finished. But they keep you into that suspense. Like those that may have seen films in those days also. So they keep right to the suspense, right till the end. Right till the end, they keep you in suspense at the end. So that you're looking for, you know, what's going to happen afterwards. They understood the human nature, you know. So they design their books accordingly. So what we're talking about is maratib of ilm, the different levels of knowledge procedure. And it is important, see, sometimes I say that we're giving a Jama'at talk, and the Jama'at talk, now you give it to such a high level, it's just flying past, it's going over, right? Talk at the basic level, 6 points, within that 6 points, you won't go off. But you go to such a high level, right? Now you say that audience, for example, Allah Ta'ala is not dependent on asbab, right? But now, that's true, he's not dependent on asbab. But you speak to such a high level, now the audience is thinking, but then why everything happens with asbab in this world? That's what will go through the mind of the audience, right? Now you have to say that Allah Ta'ala is not dependent on asbab, right? We have to depend more on Allah Ta'ala, tawakkul, trust, Allah Ta'ala, etc. That's in its place. But to take the person at such a level and just leave him on 1-2 karamat or 1-2 mu'ajiza, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, etc. Leave him there and carry on and continue. Now you confuse the person. If this is the case, then why does everything in this world follow procedure? There is some procedure is going through. It's not just going through karamat. You're not just going through miracles, but there are procedures that everything is followed. Right? Like I say, Allah Ta'ala wanted, he could have rained children from the Asman. Was there anything stopping him? No, nothing was stopping Allah, but he could have done it. There was nothing stopping his Qudrat. But he says, now this must be the procedure of children coming in. Right? So it's important that we speak at the level of the person. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will speak to Sahaba Kiram who's got camels and all that. So it says, he'll ask them, someone goes to the marketplace, ukaz, etc., and fetches 1-2 she camels, go my way, right? And one Quranic ayat is better than one camel. 2 Quranic ayat is better than 2 camels. So he's relating to their levels, their standards. Because they're dealing with camels, they're seeing camels, they're working with camels. So he's speaking their language. Now it's very easily, that message is being conveyed very, very easily. So this is an important thing that we relate to the people. Right? So as it says, he quotes Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi and he speaks about maratib of ilm. And he goes on to say that the first level of ilm is istima, fastami'u lahu. Idha quriya al-Qur'anu, fastami'u lahu. You listen to something and listen to it. That is why when the wahi would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he would cut himself off from everything else. He doesn't know what's going on. The whole world is cut off from. And his whole focus is on that wahi that Jibreel sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is bringing down. Until then the sahaba kiram say that now that asar of wahi had ended. When the asar of wahi ended, then we would rush to Rasulullah to hear what was the fresh revelation that has come down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first thing that is required in ilm. That is total focus. Right? Total focus, total tawajjuh, dhyan towards that ilm that is being imparted. When there is that type of focus, then inshallah, you will grasp the concepts very easily. So on the side of the speaker, on the side of the teacher, he must speak in a language that he can relate, people can relate to, right? And on the side of the audience or the learners, they must give their full dedication, full tawajjuh. إِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا زِيَادَةٌ فِي اللَّفْظِ تَدُلُّ عَلَى زِيَادَةٍ فِي الْمَعَانِي. Allah could have said, فَاسْمَعُوا. It says, فَاسْتَمِعُوا. So listen attentively. Not just listen, but listen attentively. Right? فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. Right? Then the second level of ilm, فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْسِتُوا. Remain absolutely silent. Don't talk at that time. Don't engage in anything else. Today, these type of things, it's supposed to be natural, right? It's supposed to be natural. But we have gone so far away from a natural type of life that all natural things, logical things, we have to go and explain. In the midst of a bayan, someone's cell phone is ringing. Kitab reading is carrying on, and someone's cell phone is ringing and is running out. Right? Now, that's not right. You are giving yourself off for the talim, for the bayan. You are giving yourself. You have come for that. You have come to that istima, for example. You have come for a purpose. Now you go and sit in the back and talk with friends and all that. But then the people that are coming to the istima, they feel now, hey, this man was inviting us to the istima. He was inviting us to this talk, but we see him sitting in the back there and he's talking away. So really, the bayan is not such an important thing that I must sit at the bayan and listen to everything. But now we show that importance of we sitting there, we're listening carefully, attentively. These people that are coming, that we are inviting, it has an effect on them as well. My own friend, Mulan as well, istima carries on, he wants to come and talk to me. Senior, a lot of time he's spending jamaat, says, no, I don't think this is respectful. I don't think this is respectful to this istima. People that organized it, or what was the intention for it, this is not respectful, not appreciating them. They have arranged it for a certain purpose, we need to show the respect at this time. Yes, you want to talk, go far away, go 200 meters away, and go and talk there. But don't talk here where the talk is going. Similarly, if the bayan is going, or if the kitab is reading, being read, right, in the masjid, all these are, this is what, this is Quran and Hadith, what else? And the explanation of Quran and Hadith, sometimes through an incident, sometimes through some tafsir, sometimes through some shara, this is what it is. So it's Quran and Hadith that is being taught, right? When it's Quran and Hadith that is taught, then these are Mubarak things. Allah Pak says, Musa alayhi salam, that أَنْتَ فَخْلَعْنَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْتَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ تُوَى. Right? Now you are on holy land, so remove your shoes. So it's holy land. Holy land because now the wahi had come down there, the tajalli of Allah Ta'ala had become apparent there. Because of the tajalli of Allah Ta'ala becoming apparent there, wahi coming down there, now this land becomes holy. So that same wahi of Allah Ta'ala is being read, right, in a masjid or in a madrasa. So like that mountain Tur had become worthy of being respected, similarly the madrasa, the masjid, all these are places that are supposed to be respected. Hadith is being read, zikr is taking place, Quran Sharif is being recited, now you respect it. You don't raise up your voice, you run, don't run. Alayka bil waqar, alayka bis sakina. Right? You have to maintain your composure, respectfully you come, respectfully you leave. Now these are the etiquettes of a madrasa, etiquettes of a masjid, and all these etiquettes are very important, they are not small things. فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْسِتُوا. So listen and remain silent. So similarly, as I said, the kitab is being read. Now you want to talk something, you want to discuss something, then go far away, don't talk near that. You want to disturb that noise, that sound is going to filter into the masjid. Those people that are listening to the bayan or listening to the kitab being read, they're going to be interrupted. Now, there'll be some people that will be paying interest to what you are talking and to what the kitab is being read, the kitab that is being read. But who's the interruption? You'll be the interruption. See? So we don't become مِغْلَاقٌ لِلْخَيْرِ. What? We don't become مِغْلَاقٌ لِلْخَيْرِ. Don't become, in our language, easy words, spanner in the works. The work of Allah Ta'ala carrying on, don't become the spanner in the work. We can't do it, we can't do it how it's supposed to be doing. Those people that are doing it, then support them in every respect. Now we just step out of the masjid, we're talking. Or we are smoking a cigarette, right? Now that smell is going through. It is disturbance. It is a disturbance. So these things may be permissible, some people may say it's permissible, some people say it's not permissible, cigarette, whatever it is. But go and do it at a place where you're not going to disturb the madrasa, the masjid. No disturbance. See, فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْسِتُوا. Right? The third thing that we understand here is that ilm that is acquired. Al-ilmu, Bukhari Sharif says, Al-ilmu bit-ta'allum, wal-fiqhu bit-tafaqquh. Right? Ilm comes gradually. Slowly, you're taking installments from your seniors. That's how ilm comes. Fiqh comes also the same way. From your seniors, in installments, gradually you are taking and you are grasping the concepts. You're taking some more, you're grasping the concepts and so forth and so on. You continue in this way. But now someone depends on self-studies, then this is disastrous. This can be dangerous. Right? Rasulullah told the Sahaba Ikram, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. He didn't say, صَلُّوا كَمَا نَزَلَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. that you perform your namaz like how it's in the Quran Sharif. He didn't say that. But he says, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni yusalli, like how you see me performing namaz, you perform your namaz. That means deen has to be acquired. Deen has to be acquired, deen has to be learned from your senior directly, from his practice. Right? So the practice of the senior has to be so good. You as the ustad, and you have to be meticulous, you have to be very careful when you are performing your namaz. Because you don't know, but those small little children, they are watching, they are observing. Right? So it says that he was going to the masjid and he wanted some directions. One small child, 4 years of age, he gave him direction. So after the namaz was ended, someone says, this child took you to the masjid, but you know this, who this child is. This child here, he says to his grandfather, his dada, you must keep quiet. You know, bakwas kiya jate hai. You carry on talking nonsense. You eat up my brains. Keep quiet. And you go on talking nonsense. Right? And you're eating up my brains. So he says this to his grandfather. The other says, I want to know why this child is saying this. I want to know. Right? Just I let the information try to find out now why this child is saying this type of words. I discovered that the grandfather, the dada, was saying something to his wife, to the dadi. And the dadi, in the presence of this child here, the dadi says, Tu khamosh nahi rahega, bakwas kiya jata hai, tune mera dimag kha liya. That you talking nonsense, can't you keep quiet? And eating my brains. So the child picked it up, he felt that whenever dada speaks, then this is the response. You see, what he says? The child felt that whatever dada speaks, then this must be the response. Because dadi says it, so this must be the response. He doesn't know what he's saying is ill manners, bad manners, disrespect. He doesn't know about it. Now if the child does something that is of bad behavior, then you want to spank the child and hit him. That is today's men and today our problem. Right? And we don't know procedure. We don't know how to make tarbiyat of the child. Say the child, just dump him onto the mother. Hey, mother, you look after the child. Any problem, you didn't make this child tarbiyat. But how much tarbiyat did you make? Umm Salima's son, when she came into the Bism's marriage and nikah, so her son, I think his name is Umar or Amr. You see, I still remember the love and the care Rasulullah had brought us up with. He taught us and he cared for us, although we were not his children. He says, Ya Bunayya, my son, kul bi yamini, eat with your right. Kul mimma yalik, sammillah, eat from in front of you and say Bismillah. He still remembers. So this got locked in his memory. Why? Because of the love, the affection that was meted out to him. So that because of the talim is done with affection, with love and muhabbat, he still remembers it. When I was young, Rasulullah seated me together, and this is how he had imparted that education to me. See? So the father must also feel equally responsible. The elder of the home must feel responsible that I need to do something. Maybe you can't give and dedicate that amount of time like your wife, but that doesn't mean that you are absolved of responsibility. The child will see you and he will learn. He will pick up things. In this day and age, my personal recommendation, at least 15 or 20 minutes you must spend with the child. Minimum. 15 or 20 minutes. In spite of your busy schedule, but you have to spend at least about 20 minutes with the child. Now, 95%, 99% of children are going to school. Right, whether they're going to circular school, private Muslim school, whichever school they're going. Right. Now they pick up some bad habit there. The one parent is telling me that my child goes to some Islamic school, and a good, reputable Islamic school, and he's talking about suicide. I was asking, what's the child's age? 7 years. Suicide, burn yourself, kill your mother. So where did this child pick this up from? A very reputable, respectable, with proper Islamic ethos, and this child is speaking this type of language. Right? And at that age, that tender age, and he's speaking this type of thing. So this is a neglect, it's an oversight from the father, from the parents. You need to sit that child, talk to him, and see what he's learning, right? what he's learning, is his aqeedah and belief being affected, right? The maktab, you have to go for imtihan one place, transcribe somewhere. So from here we give them instructions and must test them out properly, you know, in beliefs and what have you. So they ask the class, every child, they ask that in the class, who is Allah Ta'ala? Each one said Jesu. Jesus is God. Until then, this was at the beginning when it started off, it was only the Ustad, the Mawlana, who was teaching, that his son knew it, right? But the whole class was saying, it is Jesu is God. But now whose fault is it? It's our fault. See, we must assume responsibility, it's our fault. We have to go into these places. Our child comes home, and we discuss with him, sit with him, talk to him, 20 minutes. But talk to him in a way that you can cooperate with him and he can talk to you. But if he makes a mistake and you reprimand him, at that first instance, that child is going to keep quiet. He doesn't have the heart now to speak. Because he feels within himself, okay, if I'm going to say something, I'm going to get reprimanded. So rather I just keep quiet and maintain the peace in the house. So let's see, but now the parents must be a little bit curious to know, alright, he came into school, or he went to madrasa, what did he pick up, what did he learn, what has he come with? You're checking into his books, you're checking into his bags, right, occasionally. With respect to tarbiyat of children, let's remember one principle, and I found it very effective, there must be total transparency. Until they are married, total transparency, their cupboards, their behavior, their room, there mustn't be a time that they are locking the rooms, things are not transparent. No, once they married, then you can have your privacy. But before marriage, the total transparency. What are you doing? Who are you joining? What are you discussing? What's in your mind? Now, if the parents know, they got that hour, they know how to talk, they can get all the information from the child, what he's doing, what's going wrong, and what's going right. And they have got the chances to rectify the child. In three ways they can rectify the child. One is, if it's something bad influences, the parent can weed it out from the root. But from the talk I made out, this child is doing something. I often explain this to the students, you know. I remember when I was about 7 or something, and there was a youngster, 6 or 7, maybe 6 it was. So there was a youngster, I was there, and his mother was there. So he's discussing with his mother, you know, school, everybody had to just explain their holidays today. And one girl spoke about her experience in India. She just came from India and how the people stay on the streets. So the mother picked it up straight away, said, "Beta, whatever it is, but you're not supposed to have any special relationship with this girl." Now I knew that boy, he was interested some way with this girl, right? I knew. At 6, he was somewhere interested. And the mother picked it up. But now, the parents have to have that transparency. Now if the mother doesn't correct the child at that age, and that love goes on, right now till matric and whatever, and there's a matric ball, whatever it is, then it's too late, it's too advanced. But the mother nibbled it in the bud. So you need to have that hour to see what the child is speaking about. If it is a bad influence, you corrected it. Right? Number two, the second thing that you can impart to the child, for example, he used a word that was inappropriate, right? He used a word that was inappropriate. So you correct him, you rectify him, that this is the right word, this is how you say it. Right? So from the very beginning, you are correcting him. How many things you can educate him in, right? And what you learned with so much of experience and so much of age, in that 15-20 minutes, as you're discussing with the child, this is how you word it, this is how you phrase this thing here, you can correct his speech at that time. So he feels also, mashallah, my father is teaching me the correct words. I use these correct words in school, the teacher also appreciates that, see. But now, in that 20 minutes that you give. Number three is, now there is something that is happening in the house or outside, so he is discussing with you. But they're going for a picnic, can I go? Or whatever it is, some things, you know, some small problems you are discussing in his presence. There's a problem, the business venture that you're going into, right? Small, at his level you're talking. So you're including him in the mashwara. Now his mind is opening. It's a cha. The business venture, then these are the things that you have to keep in mind. Or you're purchasing a car now, and this is how you go about purchasing a car, title deed, this whatever formalities. So the child is learning, alright, I need to fill a form. I need to do this. But the father has exposed all these things. All these things. He knows all these things. He doesn't feel that he is backwards in anything. He doesn't. In simple, these are simple things. Father is explaining to the child. And the child is picking up all those concepts very easily, very simply. But that requires that you need to give some type of quality time to the child. In Kandla, many of the small girls, up to recently, the whole miras, they knew it on their fingertips. Anybody dies, wasiyat or miras, any miras problem, and they know it in the fingertips, they can give you in 2 days, the girls can give it. Right? So the parents are giving some time. Sometime if you teach that girl one halat a day, right? One halat you teach, right? It's a dada, so what is his right, right? It's a father, what is the right? What are the halat? And then how you do the calculation. They can get it, 2 days they can get it. If they can learn 50 theorems in school and 50 mathematical, geometrical problems and all, they can learn and they know how to solve it. And for them to do this is not difficult. But just that we don't apply ourselves. Really, I tell you that we don't apply ourselves. Otherwise, all these things, this funun here, we can teach in the backyard, we can teach it. We can teach it in the backyard, but we have to apply ourselves. And life becomes so enjoyable. Now you got some fatwas and all, right? And you got a couple of mirasas, you pass it on to that girl, just fix it up and bring it. Can't you do that? But that is Imam Tahawi Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. When he was a little bit old, he used to be dictating and his daughter used to be writing. Right? And they say the cause of his death was he was dictating to his daughter and he wrote, he's saying, في هذه المسألة جاء معنا or جاء معنا في هذه المسألة, right? Now that was the istila of Imam Tahawi. جاء معنا means ijma, you know, he's agreed with us. But now when he's used the word jama'una or jama'ana, so he noticed on his daughter's lips there was a little bit of a giggle. That he understood now what happened. And when he used the word again for the second time and he saw that giggle again, now he said, "Oh, stop it now." And he went into such a depression that led to his death. Okay, now these children also, they, you know, their minds, where are they going to? Where are their minds running? In which direction their minds are running? You understand the importance of tarbiyat. And when I say tarbiyat, even the intellectual tarbiyat, you know, the mental tarbiyat, how they think, how they reason, how clean their minds must be. And there's a lot of things you can teach them. I mean, you're getting small children, they know how to run the computer, they know how to run a cell phone, internet, they can access anything. So can't they learn all this funun? Can't we teach it to them? Can't we teach them? Because now we'll be proud about the fact that my child, he knows the computer backwards and forwards. Rather than that, if he knew the miras masail, or some other masail, they speak of Zainuddin ibn Mujayb, rahmatullah alayh, whether it was him or his son, someone came to ask one masala. So at that time he had a stick and a small child was playing, but maybe 5 or 7 years of age. So one person came to ask on masala. So the child asked, "What do you want?" He said, "No, I came to ask on masala." He said, "You can ask me, it's alright." He's 5 years, he's got a stick and he's like making as though he's riding the horse and moving it up, you see. Like how a child plays 4 or 5 years of age. He said, "You can ask me." Now the man is hesitating, he said, "No, don't worry, you can ask me." And he gave that masala like how a faqih will give that answer. And then he says that person that coming, that mustafti that's coming, "Hey, just move away now, my horse will knock you just now." But now, these type of basic things we can learn, and we can teach, we can impart it within the house. It's all within the house, you can teach these things. But the time, the quality time we need to pass on. And we need to understand that these are the priorities. These are the priorities that we need to pass on to these children. Very simply they can pick it up. See that the basis there, Mawlana Thaymah has prepared. Often my mother reads this kitab, right? She's, I think, not a day will pass that she won't read these two kitabs. Fazail Katak kitabs and the best is ever. So in my emails also, most of the time I'm saying, Fazail Kitab and best is ever. Most of my emails, this is my standard advice. But she says that this man must have been a great genius man. How he managed to get all these masail, you know, all the stupid things that women do, he got every one of them. Every one, all the rusum, all the bad things, and he's got everything in this. How he managed to get all this? So I explained, perhaps I think that he must have got it in this way, that he was not an idle man, right? He was not an idle man. If he heard something, straight away he made a note of it, right? Here, I see this is this riwaj here, right? You know, when you're talking in a discussion, informal, formal, you're going somewhere, someone speaks about it, right? This. So immediately he hears something and he's noting it down. Now he's got the opportunity, now he's writing the whole thing in sequence. This is the problem, this is the problem, this is the problem. So he's writing it in that sequence. But the flip side of the coin was, he wrote the kitab Islah al-Rusum, you know, all the bid'ah and all the wrongs that were going on in India. So one person wrote a letter of acknowledgement and compliments to Maulana. Says, aapka bahut bahut shukriya, bahut meherbani, aapne Islah al-Rusum ki kitab likhi. Hamare yahan bahut se rusum to matrook ho gaye the. Is Islah al-Rusum ki wajah se phir hame usko tajdeed karne ka mauka mila. You know, this Islah al-Rusum, Maulana's intention was to show them this is the wrong thing. Right, so he's saying this is the wrong thing, this is the guna, this is the wrong thing, this is the guna. This is like they got a rasum, the rasam there, India. Up to recently they had it, that if a bride comes into the house, right, then males, females, everybody will see the bride, right? And she must just sit down in one corner, she can't move now. Namaz time she can't move. It's very difficult. Now that's a rasam. Now if she ever moves and goes to the toilet and makes namaz and all that, hey, she got no shame. She's moving around like this. But here the males are coming and seeing, that is Bahaya. And she goes for namaz, that is Behaya. So Maulana wrote everything in sequence. Now this person, now he's taking the flip side of the coin. He said, no, Maulana, congratulations you. All those rusum that we supposed to be practicing, all were killed, all were dead. And you wrote this kitab, now at least you revived those rusum. So what we are speaking about is these children and their tarbiyat and the importance for the father to come directly involved. And if he needs to get involved, he can never lose himself. Many a times I have to tell the father, please, you don't teach your child. Why? So why must I not teach my child? So you haven't got the sabr. He'll make Ali sabr ah. I'm telling you Ali sabr ah. So one time you'll tell him nicely, softly. Second time, boy, I'm telling you, wasting my time now. You're looking everywhere now. And you're going to spank that child. That child is going to get a fright. He's going to get afraid. He's not going to progress. So you don't have the sabr for it. So you'll need to learn sabr. Before you become a father, you must learn sabr. And then you need to understand the hostile environment. How hostile, how aggressive it is. Everywhere it's aggressive. It's out to kill. It's out to destroy. So it's out there to destroy. Then you need to defend yourself. You need to fortify yourself. Your children, you, your children. Ku anfusakum wa ahlikum. Why did the Quran say this? Ku anfusakum wa ahlikum. Guard yourself and your household. Guard yourself and household. Why did the Quran say that? It's an address to you. Address to all. It's not only addressed to the woman in the house. It's a general address. Ku anfusakum wa ahlikum. Save yourselves and your household. Save yourselves and your household. So it's your responsibility. You got a child. You got a daughter. You got a son. It's your duty to see to it. So the first thing is istima and then insaf, right? These are the two levels. And I say that ilm at the basic level, the concepts, basic concepts, they come from the instructor himself, from his practice, and directly from him, not from the book. He must get the basic precepts, the concepts directly from the instructor, teacher or the father, the mother, etc. He must get it directly from them. If the parents are practicing, all, you know all the processes properly, they know, the average tajweed they know, right? All these elementary things can be imparted to the child. But then the woman becomes lazy in the house. Hey, I'm going to teach now nursery, teach all these things here. You know, all my time is going to go away. I won't have any free time. Who's going to, then all my internet, all that work will get left out. Who's going to see the internet and all that? So, to offload her responsibility and her fikr, she sends the child to the class, the madrasa. She thinks to herself, no, I'm doing a very intelligent thing, sending my child away. But these things would have been covered at home. Now you feel that you've sent the child, you have done the child a favor, no. The child, at the basic level, 5 years, 6 years of age, you need to educate him. You need to take that fikr, you need to take that initiative, and teach that child. Very easily, very comfortably, very conveniently, with ease, the child will learn all these things. Tajweed he'll learn. Correct pronunciation he'll learn. He'll learn his postures, he'll learn the namaz, he'll learn his surahs. Basic things he will learn, he'll pick it up very, very easily. But I have to repeat this, that you have to be patient. See the Quran Sharif, when the Quran Sharif speaks about Ar-Rahman, Allama Al-Quran, right? Ar-Rahman, the most gracious, he has taught the Quran, right? So the Quran could have said, Al-Muntaqim wal-Qahhar, Allama Al-Quran. The Quran Sharif would have said, mighty, powerful, the one who punishes the criminals, right? He has taught the Quran. The Quran didn't use this. It didn't use this phrase. What it said? Ar-Rahman. The most gracious. Not gracious also. Not just Rahim. Rahman. The most gracious. He has taught and he has educated the Quran. So the one that is going to impart this knowledge, he needs to be a reflection of Ar-Rahman. The one that is teaching, he needs to be a reflection. Most gracious. That student wants you, he wants your attention out of class. He requires, he's poor, he's weak, he can't grasp. Now you prepare to give him that attention. Right? Now this is another problem, that we want to take on 3-4 jobs. One job here, one job this side here, three. Or maybe dini jobs. I don't say it's not dini jobs. But tell me, between you and Allah Ta'ala, are you going to do justice to any one of those jobs? You are not going to do justice. Because now you're running now. Hey, now it's 11 o'clock, then I have to go home and teach there. And here I have to do imamat. And then I have to do another job this side here. So you took on 3-4 jobs. Like, are you going to teach and are you going to make haq ada of the Quran Sharif? Are you going to make haq ada of the deen whatever you are teaching? You're not going to make haq ada. I don't know what time someone says that there was one Molana, Lakkar Bechne Wale, you should sell firewood. India, up till now, in the villages, they use firewood, right? They can't afford electricity and gas and all that. Maybe now it's more gas than what they used to be before. But at that time, it was only, even when we were there, only wood. Only wood they were using. Firewood. So, he wasn't in this business of selling wood, firewood. Right? At that time, whilst he was conducting lessons, he would teach those students, and if there was a need for him to give additional attention to any student, he would give that additional attention. Right? The student wants the time, he wants an explanation, so that Maulana is available, he's giving him that additional time. Don't worry, you can't get it now, after class I will teach you, I will help you out. So he's available, the student is coming to him. Right? There is no hijab. And we must understand and admit that the student don't have that type of enthusiasm and shauq for ilm. On our side, we've taken 3-4 jobs. And on that side, they don't have the enthusiasm, right? So that little bit of enthusiasm they've got also, you have killed it. But now you made yourself available. Don't worry. You can't understand it. I will avail myself. I will teach you. Don't worry. So you need to show that additional muhabbat. I used to see Mustafa Ramtali, like some of the top Buzugaruddin that come here, you know, Mufti Farooq Saab and all that. I used to observe that these people, whilst they are studying, he's got a couple of students with him. This is one student, second student, third student. And on the side, they're learning some kitab. They're learning something, they're getting the nahu right, something in fiqh, something in hidayah here, they're getting it right. And after 5 or 6 years, because he's dedicated his time, His free time. Now at that time, now he had a very, very, very heavy schedule. After Fajr, he's got the Zikr Masjid carrying on. Then after that, he's got his Fatawa is carrying on, right? At the age of 70, 75, right? Then he's got that Iftar students, he's teaching them, right? Then after that, he's teaching the Bukhari Sharif and all that. Now he's got a very, very, very tight schedule. But he's got the time, at least 2.5-3 hours of his free time. He is dedicating it to these people here. The Farooq Sahib is coming, this person is coming. We are studying at that time. These people were above us, obviously. All studying. So, now he's got the time for them. Now, they are bonding with him, and he's bonding with them. Right now, he's guiding them. Through the stages of their ilm, through the stages of their career, he's taking them up. Now, by the time they are graduating, they have got, they build confidence. When they build confidence, now he's directing them, you go and do this work, you go and do this work. Now, as a result, one person has taken one madrasa, he's taken one province, whole province is looking after, one whole town is looking after. But that required that he needed to nurture them, bring them up like this. Take them up. That bonding, that confidence building was required. When that you build that confidence, now this child is up here where you see him today. It didn't just happen overnight. His free time is available. After Maghrib, the man is available. That is his time to prepare. Right? His time to relax. Mehman are coming in, but the student comes in. You want half an hour, I'll give you half an hour. You want 1 hour, I'll give you 1 hour. At that time also. Simple thing, some stupid thing a child is asking, some very, very elementary thing. He is not telling him that this was supposed to be learned in the first year of your career. And now you're in the fourth year and you still haven't learned this. He will never reply like that, explaining him. And then the chia, he'll make a small joke in between. So the chia, the child will open up. Then as he's going, sometimes if there's some mita or something, take this and go. So there's a bond that is being created. It's a bond. Now you see those people that are now representing Mustafa Rahmatullahi, it's not that one day's effort. It wasn't just 1 year's effort. It wasn't a formal effort. It was an informal effort. It was an informal effort. Over the years, the man carried them. He brought them up. Then now, they are posted to different departments, different places in India. But it's a whole lifelong effort. You show the man that you are interested in him. You show the man that you love him. You've got time for him. He'll definitely cooperate. But you don't have the time for him. You're working from time to time. Now, I come here, do my work. I'm gone. This is the second word. I'm gone after that. You're not going to be a productive person. You may earn a little bit more money. You may get a little bit more popular. But that's it. But productivity you will not get. This is what is required, productivity. And productivity requires you need to be committed to the student. And as I say, this day and time, those students don't have that enthusiasm and shauk what they had then. So you have to now somehow patawa them, get them, pull them in, rope them in, tease them. I mean, as a sheikh discovered this problem 70, 80 years ago, why he prepared this fazailat kitabs? To create enthusiasm. People haven't got shauk. He understood this. He put his finger on the pulse. He knew that this is the problem. So the need of the time is to create that enthusiasm. So you have to write these kitabs. So this problem is Lakkarha Molana is selling firewood. Now he's not selling business. He's not doing anything. So the students are coming and he's teaching them with the cheer. They want a little bit more attention. He's teaching them. Right? So he's giving them the time, 1 hour, 2 hours, additional time. And they are happy and he's happy and work is carrying on. Now suddenly he went into the business. He's teaching and he went into business as well. So he looks at his time now. I need to start teaching from 2:30, 5 o'clock. Now around that time, if a client comes in, so he can't speak and he can't speak very straight. He can't get out, go. He can't stand this much because as a potential client, right? He is going to buy 1 ton of wood, and that's my whole month's quota of wood. What a big deal. I'll hit just now. I'll strike a big deal here. I can't let this go. So he says to him, just hold on. I'll come just now. So something in between, you have to give it to him. Just hold on. I'll see you right just now. Right? Or sometimes it happens that one consignment is coming. Consignment of wood is coming. At a song it's coming. So now you can't refuse it. But it's coming now. It is clashing with the madrasa time. So you can't tell that person that is offering it, but take it back, I don't want to. I need to just keep him on the line, keep him in suspense. Now I'll see to you. But his whole dhyan, his whole attention is on that wood. Now he's teaching those children, but his dhyan is elsewhere. You know, I maintained myself that even if you're teaching, that forget you're teaching the third year, fourth year. Even if you're teaching at the Alif Ba level, you need to make some preparation. Right? Now you say, no, I taught the kitab 10 times, 15 times. I don't need to make, that's stupidity. It's stupidity that. You need to understand the level of the class. What is the level of my class? Right? And how will they take best? The idea is to pass that on, what your seniors have given you from Rasulullah Pak Sarasam, you need to give it on. So for them to be receiving, you need to make it so palatable that they understand it very easily. It just goes as you are passing it on, and it's just sinking into the heart. But for that to happen, you need to prepare it. You understood it, alright? I don't say you haven't understood it. But now prepare it. Prepare it, understand it, digest the thing very well. Now this, alright, this class here, now how do I speak to them? How do I put it before them? What word must I use? Now if the ustad is making that type of fikr, he's preparing it very well, he's preparing it and he's then giving it to the student, you'll see the student is ever appreciative, because the ustad is giving it to their levels, he's preparing it very well, and after he's prepared it, now he's imparting it to the student. The student takes it with shia, he takes it, see how the ustad is giving it to us at the level that we understand, we can identify. If there's a masla in the kitab, then he is relating it with present circumstances. He's showing it, alright, this is how it happens. This is how it relates to current situations. So that the student understands it very well. His understanding of the kitab is growing. He knows how to apply it, whether masla applies, where it doesn't apply. So he respects the ustad and the ustad respects him. But this happens when that ustad is making that homework at home. He's preparing it. I say even at the Alif Ba level, right? You're teaching Alif Ba. A simple example, right? Someone can't get the word, say, saw right. Sawd wal Quran. So there may be some English words that he is familiar with, right? So you ask the child, what do you call this? He says, sawd. Same thing, sawd, and this is sawd. Right? Don't you know sawd? It's similar. Now, this is the pronunciation. You got the word already. So now, this will happen if the ustad, the teacher, is using his mind. Before he comes to the class, he should teach that alif bit. But he's preparing it. Now, this comes after you've understood Ar-Rahman. The Quran didn't say Al-Muntaqim, Al-Qahhar, Al-Jabbar, Allam al-Quran. He says Ar-Rahman, Allam al-Quran. The most gracious. So, if you want to be a teacher, and you want your khidmat to be accepted by Allah Ta'ala, it must reach there. You know, the talk of Muhammad Gangui, Rahmatullahi. Unko paata hu khidmat e nubuwat mein, masnad e nubuwi mein dekhta hu. How he achieved it? He didn't achieve it like this. That qubooliyat came, that acceptance came, and that acceptance came when you showed that grace, that love, that affection, that muhabbat. Right? Anybody, you know, al insan abdul ihsan, they say, you will be graceful to him, you will be loving to him, you will be caring, compassionate to him. That man will melt, no matter how hard he is, how stupid he is, but he will start working. No, I need to work. He will see your affection, your love, your time that you want to give to him. When you're showing the time, you're showing the dedication, obviously he must respond. He won't be negative towards education. He will progress. See. The first verse that was revealed, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Again, Allah Pak used the words, Rabb. Who is Rabb? Who is Rabb? Go look at the translation of Rabb. That nourisher who brings up his creation with all the care, with all love, gradually in stages until he brings him to the level of perfection. What? That nourisher that brings up his creation with all love, care and affection, gradually until he brings him up to the age of perfection. That is Rabb. So this is the first verse of the Quran that is being revealed. اِقْرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ. So how much of love, affection, muhabbat we need to show. You see those children, right? They're going to the nursery. وَهَسْتَ هُوَ جَاتَ هَ وَهَسْتَ هُوَ آتَ. Don't you see that? They go laughing and they come back laughing. They go smiling and come back smiling. Now these people have understood that the education is on a decline. The education is on the decline. then we need to do something to pick up these children, pick up their morale, make them feel happy, make them feel excited, right? Education is fun, education is something to go for. Now, here they come into the madrasa, Murana is, you learn your sabak, you learn your sabak. Straight away you start off with that note, or they say, hey, can't work like this, yeah? We're working in a different note, they're working in a different note. They say, you know, hey, they're teaching so well, man. And the child is learning. It's not that he's not learning, he's learning. You hear now, hey, it's so many things he learnt. But it is with the cheer, the time, that dedication, that affection. And that affection will come only if you are dedicated. And the dedication will come when you haven't got 20 jobs in your hand. Now your whole mentality is now, hey, you know, we married now. Now end of this year we do to go for Umrah. To facilitate this Umrah I need to take 3 jobs. Okay, 3,000 here, 2,000 here, 5,000 that side. Every month we'll say put aside 4,000. Then at the end of the year we'll go for Umrah. And all our sawab, we get so much of sawab, all our guna get maaf, and come back. Bhai, better than all that is ek insan ko banao. I tell you, better than 5,000 Umrahs, make one human being. Make one human being is more rewarding for you than going for Hajj, Umrah and all, whatever. One human being you made. It's far more rewarding. So Hazrat says that this Lakkarha Mulana, you know, now he's teaching. Now he's suddenly become time conscious. Before he was giving his free time to his children. Free time, and they wanted, you come, I will give you time. And now comes 5 o'clock, bas Shaila, my time is over, put on his coat and he's gone. See how the whole attitude changed. Before he's such a good person, such a loving, caring person, and now suddenly he's taken the second job, he's doing business now on the side. Now that whole attitude, his whole focus has changed. His whole focus has changed. His whole mentality has changed. Whole tabiat has changed. As the Shah Sahib Rahmatullah, at the beginning, when he had heard about the mutaqaddimin, you know, mutaqaddimin, and they used to be doing business also, right? And they used to be teaching. He thought that, let me start off like how the mutaqaddimin and aslaf did, that they should generate income themselves and they should teach free of charge. He couldn't last for more than 3 months. After 3 months, he had to close it up. That was then. Today you can't do it. Today you can't do it. That was then. People were so energetic, strong, powerful. Bonifa did it. Do business, and he could be an imam also. But you go and try it, he's doing business on one side, he's an imam on the other side, and 40 years he's reading Fajr Namaz with Isha Wuzu. Can you do it? For 2 days, can you do it? Tell me, for 2 days, forget 40 years. Have you got that energy? You don't have that energy, don't speak about a wali for him. He's doing business as well, he's got students, and all the students are all, you know, he's an expert in fiqh, he's an expert in hadith, he's an expert in literature. These are the students that he's got, right? So you can imagine that discussion will be so high profile. You know, what level of discussions will be there, right? But with all that, he can still do all these things going. He can still continue. He can be discussing fiqh, he can be doing business, and he can be spending 40 years, Fajr Namaz with Isha Wuzu. They had that stamina, they had that power, that strength. We don't have that. When we don't have that, then don't pretend to be like them. Right? How much we can chew, we will take. How much they could manage, they are taking. Inshallah, if our niyat is right, then our sawab won't be decreased. وَلَنْ يَتِيرَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ He will not, Allah will not decrease and destroy your a'mal, the deeds, the sawab of your a'mal, Allah will not decrease it. You be sincere, you be dedicated, give yourself to him and you see how Allah Ta'ala will help you.